Just a couple of days ago, a friend asked me, knowing that I was going to speak, what I was going to speak on. And I looked at that friend and I said, I don't know. And the friend said, do you have any ideas? I looked at her and I said, I don't know. And she finally said, well, you'll come up with something. I want to thank Andy for introducing my lesson. The first three words that Andy spoke were what? I don't know. I don't know. You know, I just don't know. Is it a question? Is it an answer? Or is it just a response? As you've just heard, there are many ways to say those three little words. There are so many situations in our lives where these words just come stumbling out, whether we've thought about them or not. Are they harmless little words? Or are they harmful? Depends. We can say them with conviction and without. We can say them with honesty and we can say them without. We can say them and mean them and we can say them without. Well, we can easily use them to show our lack of knowledge. We can also use them to show our lack of faith. We can use them to be clever, cunning, and crafty. Sometimes we know the answer, but we know it's going to hurt or harm or destroy. So we say, I don't know, and hope the question goes away. We use them when we're not informed, misinformed, and at times, I'm sorry to say, when we just don't care to be informed. Is I don't know just flippant, shallow, evasive? Is this a standard line to be vague or misleading? Will these words keep our secrets secret? Is saying I don't know really being neutral or just being naive? Does I don't know mean you don't have the courage to lead the way? I don't know means that you're not brave enough to make a stand. I don't know means you don't have the fortitude to stay the right course. We have exceptions. One of those exceptions was read by Jeff today. God asked questions of Job, and he said, I don't know. And God knew he didn't know, because God was the only one that knew. So I want to take some of these I don't knows and set them aside of things that we'll never find out. Not now and not later. But I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about something else. And there are times in the Bible, and we're going to discuss this for just a couple of minutes and then close. God asked questions to certain individuals. He expected an answer. He expected the right answer. And what he got was, I don't know. And in all those cases, I think we're going to find they weren't acceptable. We've got a few examples, and then we have a few questions that God asked us. Some very famous lines. Genesis 4:9, God asked a question of Cain. Genesis 4:9. Oh, God knew the answer because the answer was screaming in the pool of blood coming from the field. But he still asked the question of his brother. Where is your brother Abel? Cain's reply has become famous for whatever reason. He said, his first words were, I don't know. And then he followed it up with, Am I my brother's keeper? Cain went from murderer to murderer and liar. And God didn't care for that. It was if "I don't know" for Cain was "I don't care." He was angry with God, he was angry with Abel, and he was angry at the world. This response came from pride and unwillingness to worship the way God had instructed. He couldn't accept that he would have to go to Abel and either buy or trade for an animal to offer to God. This was just too much for him to handle. So in denial and then retaliation, he killed his brother. With Cain, the "I don't know" in his life was guilt. Guilt that wouldn't go away with the claim, "I'm not responsible for my brother." Point two, Matthew 26:69, Peter was afraid. That fear was going to haunt him that night, and Jesus predicted that it would. Peter said, "No, it won't." But Peter said, "I don't know him." Point one, Peter denied being part of his group. Point two, then Peter said, "I don't know the man." Point three. With Peter, the "I don't know" in this stage of his life was fear. Fear of harm or embarrassment or lack of conviction, whatever the case may be. But in Luke 22:61, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, and he went out and cried bitterly. He felt then that he had failed his Savior. Example 3. Mark 11:27. A question was asked of Jesus by a group of men. That group included chief priests, teachers of the law, and elders. My, what a group. With this well-learned, distinguished group of Jewish leaders, why would they have need of asking anyone a religious question? Well, we learn from Jesus' response in the form of a question that he was well aware of the condition of their hearts. He said, "I'll answer your question if you will answer mine." They took some time and discussed it amongst themselves, and they came up with the best answer they could for them. It wasn't long, it wasn't detailed, it wasn't brilliant, and it wasn't bold. And it really wasn't like the group at all. It was short, it was simple, and it wasn't right. They said, "We don't know." Separately or as a group, they probably never said that before. The brightest, most educated, now the most arrogant followers of the law couldn't face the truth. So that was the best they could come up with. Did that response get them out of the predicament they'd created for themselves? Did they win the battle with Jesus? Did they look good to the people around them? No, no, and no. With the Jewish leaders, "We don't know" was a failure to admit wrong. It was a failure to affirm Jesus' authority and the power of who he was. It was indeed a failure of admission. So, with these examples, we find guilt and fear and failure simply by uttering three little words. Yet, we see the results weren't so small, were they? All their lives of all these people were changed forever by the result of "I don't know." In all cases, they had denied God or Christ. In all cases, at some point in time, they had turned their backs. Well, one went on and repented and went on to follow the path that God had set for him. He became a pillar in Christ's church and an outspoken champion of the gospel. The other two, well, there was disgrace. with Christ calling one group whitewashed sepulchers. And God asks us, God asks, with the life I've given you, what will you do with it? What will you do with my son? What will you do with my word? What will you do with my salvation? If you answer, Christian or not, if you answer, I don't know, to any of these questions, then where on earth do we think we stand with God? The judgment's coming. Every knee's going to bow and everyone's going to confess what? I don't know. No, they're not going to say that. We're going to stand in line and whatever comes with the judgment, I don't know, it's not going to be part of it. Jesus is Lord. Will you be one that repents and becomes a champion for God, or will you not? You know, I've looked through the scripture, and maybe someone can help me, but I have not been able to find where someone says, I don't know, and can find the answer, and it work out. You know, a man's riding in a chariot, and he's thinking, I don't know what this means. What did God do? God sent someone to help the I don't know into, I want to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:15 seems to give some of the answers. And be ready always to give an answer. The answer. The right answer. God's answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation, that means everything you say, be always full of grace, love, seasoned with salt, considerate, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Well, it's simple to erase that off the board. But a lot of responsibility comes with that. I know God, and in a moment we're going to sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know where my salvation comes from. The question is, do I believe it and want to share it with others? We offer the invitation as we stand and sing.